But I gave you the wrong text. But just forgive me. It's been a long one, and I'm upset that Texas won last minute, right before I was going to sleep. But Acts chapter 13, verse 1 to 3. That's where I messed up. But it's on the screen. I've read it to you, and if you want to follow along, just follow along as we go through the verses. I'm excited today because of what God is doing in our midst. We had a time of prayer. This past Monday, we had a 5:30 morning prayer. We were here at 5:30, and we had a good representation, had a good crowd, and we were praying. We prayed for, I got here a little bit before 5. There was already a group waiting for me. So some prayed a little bit more than an hour and a half, and we didn't finish till almost 6:30. It was just an awesome time of prayer, and we didn't have a lot of stuff going on, a lot of movement. We just had prayer. We had people all over this sanctuary praying. It was beautiful. And that's when I know that God is doing something. Every pastor loves a full church. Every pastor loves it when everybody shows up and comes. But it's another thing when we see people that are praying. That's when you see a church that's ready for action and ready to do something. And thank the Lord that was something that we're doing throughout the year. And we invite you. We invite you to join us. If you want something different from God, do something different for Him. And we're praying that, you know, sometimes you got to step out of your routine. Sometimes we get so used to doing the same old, but when you're ready for something different, do something different. So if you're not used to waking up at, some of you guys wake up early anyway, but you're not used to coming to church at 5:30, try it. I promise you, God will speak to you and God will bless you. And so we're seeing not only hunger for growth, but also hunger for spiritual things. And when we look at the church of Acts speaks of the birth of the church, when the church first started. So now we're in Acts chapter 13. Let's go back to that. If you didn't follow along, forgive me for that mess up there. But Acts chapter 13 speaks of the church of Antioch. This is a powerful church. This was one of the first churches that was birthed after the persecution when the Christians were scattered throughout the land, and this is one of the first churches that was church plant and began to grow. So Antioch was known for many things. Antioch was the first church, one of the first churches after the persecution. Antioch was also known for the first Gentile church. Most of the ministry, even Jesus came for the Gentile first. I'm sorry, for the Jew first, and now this is a church for the Gentiles, reaching out to the Gentiles or non-Jewish. That'll be us. And this was also the church where they were first called Christians. And this was the church where Paul and Barnabas were sent out. The first church that sent out missionaries. This was a progressive church. This was a church that was doing something. This was a church that was happening. I want to be an Antioch church. A church that takes the first step. A church that's willing to take the risk. A church that moves. A church that's not bound by fear or bound by tradition or bound by the past. But a church that believes God and is able to move on that and move on His word and move and act on what God is saying. Now, I believe that we are a modern-day Antioch church. I believe where the church of today is alive and God is doing something. God is saving, God is restoring, God is reviving His church. And just like Antioch or when we see the New Testament church, things were happening. Things are happening now. Things are happening in our church. Look at the staff, or look at the lineup that was part of this church. Acts chapter 13, 1 through 7. And in that list, or the people that were there, we read there were prophets, teachers, doctors, Barnabas, which one was known as the encourager. Paul was there, or Saul, which converted into Paul. And Simon. Some commentaries believe Simon was the man that carried the cross. So when we look at the staff, they were well equipped, had good teachers, good preachers, prophets, teachers, doctors, people that could teach the Bible, teach the word, people that were ministering. Paul was there. Barnabas was there. There was good doctrine. There was good teaching. I want you to see something as this morning, as I was meditating on the message. You know, I grew up in this church here. My parents migrated from Mexico. We came here. But every summer we would go over there. that my dad pastored a small church over there, and that church began to grow, and there's still a church there. But I grew up under a Pentecostal environment. And some of you guys that grew up with me here, you remember the whole Holy Ghost services where, you know, God would move and the hermanas would receive and the brothers, that was just the old school service. And things would happen. And then you'll see people fall out, people jump, people scream, people running around the church. And you'll say, whoa, what's all that? That's just God moving. That's the way we do things here. I remember even in the church in Mexico where we would fall out and people would pray and they would go out for hours, just a Holy Ghost service. And it was just powerful. That's the environment I grew up under. A Pentecostal church, old school Pentecostal service. I mean, I'm talking about it was just where if you didn't have God, you were going to get God that day. You know, if you weren't living right, somebody was going to tell you you ain't living right and God was going to get on you. But that's the environment we had. We just had Holy Ghost services, Holy Ghost Pentecostal services. That's what we were used to. This is one of those services that we're looking at in chapter 13. It's one of them old school Pentecostal services. Verse 2 says, as they were ministering unto the Lord, fasting and praying, the Holy Spirit spoke. As they were worshiping, as they were singing, as they were ministering unto the Lord, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit descended and spoke to Paul and Barnabas, or to the leadership, the staff that we read there, that personnel that was in that congregation. And God spoke. Notice something. As they worshiped, as they ministered, as they sung their songs, God began to flow in that place. I love what David Jeremiah says about praise and worship. God lives in praise and worship. God inhabits the praises of His people. If you want God to show up, just worship Him. If you need God in your life, praise Him. If you need a move from God, if you need something, as we read in this church, as they were ministering unto the Lord, the Holy Spirit spoke. And if you need something from God, it's easy. Worship opens up the windows of heaven. And every time you praise Him, God shows up. Look at your neighbor and say, I hope you're a worshiper this morning. Just look at him and say, you look a little sleepy, but I hope you came to get your praise on. I hope you know how to minister unto the Lord. I hope that you're a worshiper this morning, because I believe the Church of Jesus Christ needs to be a church that worships, a church that prays, a church that knows how to lift up holy hands. God is searching. God is looking for a worshiping church, a church that knows how to minister unto the Lord. We don't just come to church to sit at church to see who came, who didn't make it, or what my brother and sisters were in. When we come to church, we come to lift up His name, to lift Him higher, to worship Him, to praise Him, to exalt Him. How many worship Him this morning? Every time the church praises, when you praise Him, God shows up. That's what we're talking about, them old Holy Ghost services. That every time we praise them, God showed up. That's what's happening here. Notice something. As they ministered unto the Lord, the Holy Spirit manifested. And He spoke. I like to call it a tapping of the shoulders. Let me just warn you now, be careful with an old school Pentecostal Holy Ghost service. Because when you least expect it, the Holy Spirit will tap on you and say, hey, you've been showing up, but you ain't been praising me. You've been coming, but you ain't been opening your mouth. You haven't been searching for me. There was a tapping. There was a calling. I believe every time God moves or manifests Himself in a service, there's that tapping of the Spirit. I've sat there many times. I've sat here growing up when the Holy Spirit tapped on me and said, today is the day for change. Today is the day I need to deal with you. Today is the day where something has to happen. There's a tapping. Don't just come to church to sit here or to come because somebody invited you. Come to receive a word, a tapping of the Spirit. To say, God, I can't hide any longer. I just can't come in here and just come in the way and leave the way I came. But I have to allow you to speak to me, to tap me on my shoulder and say, what do you want from me, God? There was a speaking. Let me just give you 3 points today. As they ministered unto the Lord, not only was there a tapping. Number one, there was a speaking. God spoke to them. As they ministered, the Holy Spirit said to them, separate me, Paul, well, Barnabas and Saul. And that time his name was Saul, later called Paul. And God spoke to that church. The God we serve is a speaking God. God always has something to say to us. God is a God of words. God is a God of relationship. God is a God of connecting. God will always speak to us. Well, I didn't get nothing out of the service. I went and nothing happened. I didn't hear anything. Well, I sat there and I couldn't get into the preaching. When you worship Him, you know what worship does or praise does as we sang today? When you worship God, when you worship Him, God prepares your hearts for His Word. Well, I just don't know. You just lift up God. You just worship Him. Because the more you worship Him, the more your heart becomes tender, softened for the rhema and the Word that God has for you today. So it's important to worship God. And as you sit here, allow God to speak to you. It all begins with your attitude of worship. If you worship Him, God will speak to you. The problem is not that God is not speaking. Sometimes we're not listening. Sometimes even as we in church service, is that we're distracted. Matter of fact, that's what the enemy wants. The devil will try to distract you so God won't speak to you. There's many ways that the devil tries to distract you. Got a lot of things going on. Got many voices, many thoughts. A lot of noise around you. And you know you need a word from God. You know you need a direction in your life. And you're here today and you're saying, God, I need you to speak to me. But as God begins to talk to you, or as the preaching starts, or as you begin to get in tune with what God is saying to the frequency of the Spirit, the enemy begins to speak louder or distract you in thoughts, in words. And you know that God has something for you, and you know that God is speaking to you. But the moment you say, okay, that was for me, the enemy will tell you, oh, no, that ain't for you. We know what you did last week. We know how you spoke to your wife or to your husband. You know you slept around your kids when you lost it. And now you want all God to speak to you. You want to receive a blessing. You want to receive an anointing. You want God to touch you. We know how you acted over there. And the enemy began to put noise around, distract you with noise. Voices, a lot of voices. We hear voices. We hear stuff people say. We have negative comments. And there's so much going around us. We're so distracted as a church many times, or as a people, that we can't hear God. But let me tell you today, God is speaking, and God has something to say to you. The Bible says that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that's proceeding out of the mouth of God. In other words, that word that is coming out of the mouth of God, that word that is being deposited from heaven, downloading from heaven unto us. God always has a fresh word for you. You cannot live by yesterday's word. You need a word for you today. You need something from God today. It is a proceeding word. In other words, it is continually speaking. God is always speaking to us. Always has something to say to us. Well, I know what He said in 1980 and something. I know what He said in 1990. I know what He said last time. And last time I got a blessing. And when I first did this, and when He first called me to that. But what is He saying to you today? If people ask you, what's your life purpose? What's your mission? What is your philosophy of ministry? Can you say, this is what God is saying to me today? Because He's still speaking. God is a speaking God. He gives us what we need. He'll tell us what we need to hear. Now, I know God uses my wife. I know God uses some of you, friends. Some of you. God uses people. A lot of times we get around people that'll tell us kind of what we want to hear. But we need those people around us that'll tell us what we really need to hear. And say, hey, brother, you know, how you doing? I'm doing okay, brother. How you really doing? I don't really want to talk about that right now. But God always wants to deal with us. God is a speaking God. There are three words that the New Testament uses for word, or the word of the Lord, or the word. It is graphe. Graphe, from the Latin word we get graphic, where we see graphic. Graphic means the written word, the word that's on paper, the word that you have in front of you, the Bible, the word that you could see. That's graphic that you can see, that image that's in front of you. The second word is logos. Logos is the word in message, in its doctrine, in its teaching, in its content, the word that is being taught. Logos is what we learn in Rhema. Rhema is the inspired word, the spoken word, the living word, the word that comes to you, the personal word, the word that fits to your situation. So when God speaks to you, he doesn't just give you the Bible or just the teaching. When God speaks to you, it's a Rhema word. It's a living word. It's a word that activates things. It's a word that the moment you receive it, you say, oh, wow, this fits here and it fits over here. It's a word that activates life. It's a word that straightens things out. It's a word that comes and it motivates you. It's a word that when you come out, after you receive it, you leave a service and you come out of a service, you're saying, man, I needed that because tomorrow I got a job interview. I needed that because tomorrow I'm dealing with this situation. I needed that word because tomorrow I'm going to the battlefield and I have a word in me and I know how to stand and I know how to battle. All of us need a Rhema word. Don't ever confront the enemy. Matter of fact, a lot of times we cannot go to the battleground or we don't win battles because we got no word in us. And we're saying, man, why does the devil always get this his way? Why does the devil always defeat me? Why do I keep falling into the same stuff? Because we ain't got no word. But when you got a word in you, a Rhema word in you, you're saying, I don't need that mess. I don't need that situation. I don't have to go down that alley or that road because I got a word in me. I know what God is saying to my life. And when God speaks, it's a Rhema word. Number two, not only did God speak, he separated. Told him, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. Separate them. Separate them for service. Separate them because I have something for them. God is a God that separates. We're called the church. The ecclesia, the Greek word used for church is ecclesia. The called out one, the separated one. We are separated from the world. We are separated for his service. God separates us that he may use us. In an old school Holy Ghost service, as we read, when God is moving, he not only speaks, but he separates. He separates those he wants to use. He separates those that he has a purpose for. And every time God wants to use you, he will separate you. God is a God of separation. He separates. Why does God separate? That's what we call the sanctification process. He separates us to make us more like him, to make us holy, to make him more like Jesus in his image. Sometimes God separates us because there's too much of us in us. Too much attitude, too much TV, too much gossip, too much social media, too much secularism, just too much of the old and not enough of the new. Then he'll separate you to say, it's time for change. You've been in church and long enough. You've been in a Holy Ghost service. You've been in enough of these services to stay the same. It's time for separation. Look at your neighbor. I think they're talking to you. Just point at your neighbor and say, I think they're talking to you. Because when separation comes, sanctification starts. That cleaning, that purging process. God will always separate those that he uses. I like to put it this way. God will help you in your weakness, but not in your wildness. God is a God of weaknesses. The Bible tells us he is strong in our weaknesses. But God will never be with you in your wildness and your wild streaks. He will always be with you in your weakness, but he will never back you up in your wildness. Because sometimes we just get too wild. We have our wild side. We have that side that we don't want to let go. That side that we just say, well, God, you could deal with this, but just don't touch this. I'll give you Sunday, but don't touch Friday. I'll give you this music, but don't touch this music. God, I'll give you these people, but don't touch these people. And a lot of us, we want God when we're weak. We want God when we're sick. And we look for God when tough times come and we're going through a time or a season of weakness and say, I need Jesus. I need to go to church. I need God. And yes, when we come and God is faithful to that, but God is not just saying, don't just give me your weakness, your down moments, your times where you're struggling. Give me all of your life. Give me all of your heart. Give me everything about you. I need the good and the bad, the weak and the wild. I need everything about you if I'm going to separate you. God will deal with your wild streak. Amen. See, God can't help crazy. You can't act crazy and say, oh, God's with you. You just can't. You can't talk to people crazy. You can't just tell everybody what's on your mind. You can't get crazy on people and think, well, God, I'm a good Christian. I'm a good person. Pastor, that ain't none of your business, Pastor. What I do on Friday. Your business, Pastor, what I do when I ain't at church. What I put on Facebook. What I text people. Pastor, that ain't none of y'all's business. That ain't none of the church business what I do on my downtime. That's not what I'm saying. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible teaches. And if we want God in our weakness, he's got to deal with our wildness. Y'all look too serious this morning. I wish somebody would say amen in this place. Lastly, God speaks. God separates. I'm not talking about just church. In a good old Holy Ghost church. God speaks. God separates. And number three, he sends. Verse 3, and when they had prayed and fasted, they laid hands on them and sent them away. See, it's not just about receiving, it's about giving. It's not just about coming, but it's about going. It's not just about being here, it's about reaching out. That's what I love about God. Every time we have a good old Holy Ghost service, we had one Sunday, this past Sunday, our brother that was ministering in the morning, he ministered at the Spanish, he ministered at night. Man, we had a Holy Ghost. He preached about an hour and a half. We're like, he's done? Holy Ghost service, just power, power fail. Then we came back on Monday morning, prayed. My wife landed. The girls that were out at a conference, they landed about 1 o'clock in the morning. I told them, you know, yeah, I'll give you an excuse. You know, I'll give you an excuse absence. You know, the teachers used to give you those. You don't got to come to prayer. You've been ministering. You've been traveling. And my wife showed up, and we prayed, and we were here. And I really didn't know if anybody was going to come. The first time we did this 5:30 morning prayer, I thought it was just going to be me, my wife, Brian, a couple people I talked to. I said, hey, don't leave me by myself. You just come. You know, if it's just two or three, just, you know, at least make, you know, we're going to have the AC on, you know, at least make it worth our while. But we had a good group. Then it started building and building and building and building. And you guys that showed up, some of you that were here, we had a good group on Friday. You know what? And we were just praying. And it is at these services, at these meetings, it is these intimate moments, these Holy Ghost services, these times of devotion, that God begins to remove the veil and lets you see what's ahead. I remember just praying here, and all these things, like a flood of ideas and just all this anointing that was falling, and we were just receiving. I was writing it down. And I was saying, God, why are you giving me this? And I'm writing this stuff down. I said, this makes sense. This doesn't make sense. Why are you telling me this? And God, this, I don't know how we're going to do this. And God was just saying, because it's time to go. It's time to reach out. It's time to do something with what I've done. It's not just about coming to church every once in a while or being in a service or being in a Holy Ghost service. When God appears, when God shows up, it's to send us out and to do something for him and to walk out of the service and walk out of these walls and say, I've been anointed for service. I've been anointed for purpose. I've been anointed to set the captives free. If God fills you, it's to use you and to send you out to tell somebody about Jesus, to let everybody else know, other people know what he's done in me. He could do it in you. We serve a wonder working God, a healing God, a powerful God. We serve a God that is raised from the dead. We serve a God that is alive. If he lives in me, he could live in you too. Also, he could minister to you today. Maybe today you're saying, I don't see it, Pastor. I don't know if I should go, if I should do something, or I'm just going to sit here, see what happens. No, if God put that word in your spirit, move on it. Activate that word and say, I'm moving. I'm believing God. I know my body is hurting, but I know God's going to heal me. I know right now there's no money, there's no finances, but God's going to pay this debt off. God's going to pay this house off. God's going to pay this car off. I'm going to pay my kids' college. I'm going to pay this bill here. If God said it, he's going to do it, and I'm going to activate that word, and I'm going to move on that word. If God said it, I'm believing him. And I'm going to go in Jesus' name. Today, as I finish, wrap this up, Habakkuk, would you help me on the keyboard? Why does God give us those Holy Ghost services, those times where His presence just falls? It's because He's a speaking God, and I hope He's speaking to you this morning. And number two is because He separates us. He separates us from the world. And yes, the world's not going to like it. The world is not going to agree with it. We are called to be separate from the world. Going to church again, brother? You mean you're going to go to another Sunday? It's the weekend. It's because He's been speaking to me. Sorry, I can't. I know you want me to go to the club. You want me to go to that party. You want me to go over here. You want me to hang out with you here and try. I can't. There's a separation in me. I want to hang out with you, but something's separating me. Can't talk the way I used to talk. I know that's the way we used to hang out, but sorry. Something is separating me. So levels. Elementary levels is when God's just speaking. I don't want to be just at a church where it's just speaking. I'm just teaching, just preaching. I come here just to get. Then there's a separating, another level. Well, you have to deal with the character, with your words, your testimony. The Holy Ghost moves and falls, not just to speak, but to tell you that attitude has to go. Those friends got to go. Too much TV time. Too much junk coming in. Too many images. Too many movies. Too much stuff around you. Separate yourself with me a little longer. Pray a little longer. Read the word a little longer. Come to church a little bit more. Separate yourself for me. Another year with all that mess around you. Another year doing the same old. Separate yourself for me. Look at all I've done for you. And when He gets you here. See, God doesn't separate you to sit you. God separates you to send you. Come to church, I'm coming to get filled, that I may walk out of this place and tell somebody else about Jesus. But Pastor, I'm not there yet. But stay in the sanctification process. But then, you know when the miracles happen? It's in the going. I'm standing before you as a preacher of the gospel, because somebody went. They preached to me. They told me. My dream as a pastor is not just to be a church where people come, but a church where people go and say, hey, you come to church with me today. Hey, you need to hear what pastor has to say. Hey, you know, it's time we fix this thing we got going here. You know, this ain't right. When the church is active and things are happening. I'm going to ask you that you stand as I want to pray for you. An anointing today, not just for speaking, so you could hear God, so you could say, oh, I need God to tell me because I'm struggling. The less we hear God, the more excuses build up. The less we hear God, the more problems begin to pile up and say, well, I can't because of this. But the louder God speaks, the more He'll show you things, the more light.